Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. I'm your presiding minister, Angela Perry, Chicago-based poet known as Sister Pucci, here for another afternoon of praising and rejoicing the great I Am and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I'm excited about this show because Minister Hovak will be joining me shortly to bring us a powerful word of God. But let me get this church announcements over really quick. Bible study with Elder Faye is available every month. Lesson 14 and Lesson 15 are available for your review. Lesson 16 will be out very soon. I will be doing a monthly sermon. I was supposed to do it on January 7th, but I wasn't feeling well. So I rescheduled it to January the 29th, and it's Why Do We Worry? So stay tuned for that sermon for me, which will be happening every month. All right. On January the 13th, that's tomorrow, 2013, Sunday, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, the House of Inspiration Mix Show comes to the Journey Home Outreach Ministry with resident DJ Frankie Vives showing his stuff off for an entire hour. January the 19th will be the international show, a dance mix by DJ Cairo from Naples, Italy. And January the 21st is the new show, Airlines with Free Miles. We're going to do a red eye flight, everybody. We're going to do this between 10 and 12 a.m. Central Standard Time. What we're going to do is you can call in to 347-838-9457. And all we're going to do is talk about Jesus. And we're going to have enough room for 200 people to get on the telephone at the same time. And, of course, January the 26th, the youth take over the studio with Y4C, with our youth hostess, Shining Star, and resident youth DJ, Shaheen. All right, Minister Hovak is on the phone, so I'm ready to find out what God has been saying to her. Hold on for a second. Let me get her on the line here. Hello, Minister Hovak.
Well, hello. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. How was your New Year?
I am excited. Oh, my New Year was fantastic. It was really good. I was in Virginia with my sister. I don't often get to see her, and it was the first time we actually spent a New Year together. So it was a wonderful time. I was very happy to spend time with her.
Oh, great, great, great.
How was your New Year?
My New Year was wonderful. I did nothing but rest. And it felt so good.
You know, nothing feels good often.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a long year, a successful year for the ministry. And so I just rested in prayer and just thanksgiving for the awesome gifts that the Lord has bestowed on us with this ministry. So
wonderful.
So I am excited. What God has been talking to you, I know.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. This morning I couldn't even, you know, stay asleep because he was talking so hard. I was like, all right, I'll get up. Fine.
Okay.
You know, it got to the point where I was like, oh, wait, Holy Spirit, hold on a minute. I'm not ready yet. Yeah, I kind of had one of those days today, but you know,
okay.
It's awesome.
Okay. Yes.
It's awesome today. Yes, it does. It makes you move. And I am just so excited in my spirit. You know, today, you know, it's the beginning of the year, and today we are talking about adding more joy in your 2013. And so, you know, I'm not a resolution person. I really am not. But this year I decided to be different, and I said, you know what? I'm going to set up some resolutions for myself for 2013. I'm going to change. I'm going to do something different. And so, you know, as I do what I call going in with God, when I just start meditating on him and trying to experience what it is that he has for me, you know, he says, you know what, I'm going to give you these things, and I want you to share with everyone on the radio show what it is that you are going to be working on in 2013. So my hope is that you can maybe you might take some of these as your own, or maybe it just might encourage you or anyone else, you know, to just think about what it is that you want to do with your year.
Yes.
So often,
yes.
You know, when we don't plan life, life kind of happens, you know, and we just end up reacting to whatever
yes.
is going on. And that's not really the way it should be. We should be in the driver's seat of our life. We should be making decisions on where we're going and what stops we're going to take, knowing that there are going to be things along the way that happen anyway. So
mm-hmm.
why do you just want your life to be a free-for-all where it just drives you all over the place? You know,
yes.
you need to have some kind of, you know, some kind of direction, some kind of place where you're saying, you know what, I want to end up somewhere over there, you know, and just move forward with it. You know, sometimes when you set
yes.
resolutions, people get too tight about it, and if they don't land
mm-hmm.
exactly where they want to land, it's a problem. I'm not saying
mm-hmm.
to do that, but at least make it in the ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, just,
yes.
let's just make it in the ballpark.
Think about it, people, everyone. Think about it, okay?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So the main thing the thing I started off thinking was from the verse John 10:10, he came that we may have life.
Oh.
That is really what started the whole process of me thinking about, you know, Jesus said, I came that they might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And depending
mm-hmm.
upon the scripture that you're reading, it might say to the full, until it overflows.
Yes.
And it made me start thinking about, you're going to laugh probably, but it made
mm-hmm.
me think about punctuation marks. Let me tell you about punctuation marks, right? You know, there's always something off kilter in my brain.
Yes,
so,
I know.
You know,
I know.
But I love punctuation marks because they give our words meaning. And of all the punctuation marks that there are, I really do say that the exclamation point is my favorite. It's my favorite. I use it all the time when I text people, when I email people, when I'm just writing letters. I use an exclamation point every chance I get. I
yes.
love the exclamation point because it really exudes a feeling. When I think of the exclamation point, I think of excitement, surprise,
mm-hmm.
fear,
mm-hmm.
awe. I feel the emotions. I think of the emotions that cause us to gasp or to have a sudden rush of emotion, you know? And,
but,
I mean, you just think about it. Just an exclamation point at the end of a sentence is just one stroke of a pen, and it'll turn the word yes to absolutely yes.
Yes,
there's
absolutely.
There's a big difference.
That's
a very big
difference.
And so this
mm-hmm.
year, what I promised myself, you know, well, first let me just tell you that, you know, I'm 46, and when I turned 40, I was so excited to be 40. Oh, my God. Could not wait to be 40 because
mm-hmm.
I decided that when I turned 40, I wanted to have the behavior of the person who's 50 or 60.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how when people are 50 or 60, they just don't really care.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know what, look, I don't have time for all that. I don't know how many years I got left, and I got to say what I got to say, do what I got to do.
Exactly.
And I really wanted that at 40. It didn't quite come at 40. It didn't come at 42. It didn't come at 44. But I think now at 46, I'm finally there. And so
wonderful.
This year, I promise to fill my life with positive exclamation points. That's exactly how I feel.
I
you
see
know?
Them over your wall. I really
absolutely. Pause exclamation points everywhere. You
yes.
know, this is not going to be the year for cosigners for me. No one
uh-oh.
Is going to get to say what my exclamation points can be. I'm going to be the one to decide. And
mm-hmm.
I'm determined to experience more joy, more peace, more love, more excitement, better health, more wealth. I'm just going to discover more about me and more about me living in him. Right? And
oh,
I'm just choosing to live more enthusiastically, more on purpose. This is really what I believe a great part of what Jesus came for.
Yes, and
now,
I call it blessed assurance.
Yes.
Do not, it's blessed assurance. It, you know, he's already told us the ending. It's
yes.
just get through the story, it,
mm-hmm.
you know, without
That's
worrying
true.
About You know, it's wonderful. Okay, go back to you.
And this is a learned behavior, though. You know, like
yeah.
people expect that, you know, you become a Christian and you suddenly just have that. You don't have that. You have to learn to accept it, learn to receive it, so that you might be able to experience it. Mm-hmm. And it comes in just bits and pieces. But as you allow yourself, it's your faith growing. So as you allow yourself to experience it, you gain more and more and more. And, mm-hmm. I say it is what Jesus came for. Here's one thing that I want people to remember. Some people may not even know this. But when the Bible was written, the original language in which the Bible was written does not have punctuation points.
Mm-mm.
There's no such thing. That's a sophisticated system. It came upon later. So I want you to imagine the sentence, "He came that I might have life." And instead of imagining it with a period, imagine it with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Imagine it that way. Imagine him saying, "and that they might have it more abundantly." Instead of just a matter of fact with a period, imagine it with an exclamation point. Wow.
And that's
doesn't
the way
that
he
just
wants
change
you to,
it a little bit?
Yeah, it does. And he wants you to be joyful.
Yes.
I come that you might have joy. And so he wants that exclamation point at
absolutely.
The end of everything that we do. So you're right on track. Oh.
And it's not some small, you know, "oh, I want you to be happy." Uh-uh. He wants us to be so filled with joy that it exudes from us and just contaminates everything around us.
Absolutely.
That's how he wants us to be.
Yes.
So I want people to think about that when you're thinking about how you want to live your life this year. Don't look at the year and be in fear. Don't look at the year and think about the lack that you have. Don't look at, you know, the difficulties of last year. You made it through last year. You know, he was there for you. You got to the other side. You know, you didn't starve to death. You didn't die from some disease. You might have had some difficulties, but you made it through. So if you imagine moving into this year knowing that God's got your back, he came that you might have life. And
amen.
So make a plan to live more fully, more robustly. Make a plan to live in his truth and in his guidance and in his steps for you. Imagine what you can accomplish if you decide not that he's on your side, but that you would be on his.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, say that once more.
Imagine living your life not just knowing that he's on your side, but make the decision that you will be on his side.
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen.
He's waiting for you.
Yes. Yes.
You're not waiting. He's waiting for us.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The next thing that I thought about was the fact that Jesus chose his inner circle. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible tells us that Jesus chose the 12 disciples. Okay? And then of the 12, he chose yet another three. He chose Peter, James, and John to be even closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I want some folks to keep in mind. You know, there were more than 12 followers. You know, when it came to the end, there were a lot of followers. But of the followers, there were still the 12 and then the three. It's important to choose your inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, here's what I want you to also understand. Jesus chose them. And the Bible tells us that it was his habit to get up early in the morning. He would pray. He would join with God and the Holy Spirit. And then it's kind of like he got his marching orders and he moved about his day. And his days were very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that when he chose the 12, that he chose with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He didn't choose haphazardly. He chose on purpose. He chose wisely. And when he chose the three, he chose on purpose. He chose wisely. And when I see this, I say he wasn't just choosing friends, but he was choosing those that would carry the legacy of God's truth into the ends of the world. He chose people that he would be able to pour into without abandon. See, not everyone is ready to receive what you have to say. For those of you who are called to ministry, not everyone is called to you.
Right.
You have to speak into the lives of those that are called to you. And sometimes the person that you are called to might come with someone else. And that other person is not called to you, but the other one is. Don't worry about the one that's not called to you. Don't spend your time trying to change the one that's not called to you. Just speak life to the one that is called to you. Pour into them without abandon. And then Jesus whittled it down to three more, not because they would obey his every word, and not because they would never deny him, and not because they would capture all of his teachings and manifest them immediately. No, not at all. Go ahead.
I was just saying they didn't understand them half the time.
They thought the man was crazy at the end.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, drink your blood? What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God, he's a nut. But he chose them, really. He was led by the Spirit. And the Spirit chose them because the Spirit knew their heart and he knew the destiny that he intended for their lives. So who was really Jesus' true inner circle? It was God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He sought them out first thing daily. He talked to them all day long. He called upon them when he was in need. He trusted them when he was when he needed truth. And they poured into him, and he learned. So here's the model that Jesus set up. Jesus had the model of the circle above him that he was able to trust implicitly and that he learned from and that he got filled to a point of overflowing. But then he also had the group that he poured into. That is the great model for life. I believe that. I believe that we should have the group that we are receiving from, the place that we're being fed from, the place that we get filled like a glass of water to the point where we're overflowing. And now when you're in an overflow mode, you're ready to give. Listen, I don't get on this phone without knowing that I'm prayed up and that I'm at a point where I'm at a point of overflowing. What people are receiving is not what I need for myself, but it's what God intended for me to give to begin with.
Right? Absolutely.
That's the way it should be. Too many people are moving in ministry and giving that which the Father gave them to sustain their own life. You have to get a little bit more. You have to get to the point where you're in a place of overflowing. Because when you're giving, it should be easy. It should just come off of you. It should just flow. That's why you and I are able to have a conversation that flows.
Right.
Because no one's pulling from that which belongs to me. Look, whatever belongs to me is trying to stay attached to me. It's not trying to go anywhere.
And my stuff is over here, and your stuff is over there. And people do, I don't think people realize that we do never have a conversation about your segment. We don't. And you would think we would sat and talked and been in the boardroom and mapped all of this stuff out.
It's true. It's true. You really would. But it's just being connected in the Spirit.
It is. Yes, it is. That's what it is.
Yeah. You know, if people, the other thing that people might want to make note of, you know, when you see, this is evidence of being connected in the Spirit. For those of you who are teachers and leaders, you know, you had to have opportunity where you have been studying the Word, and then you turn on the television and you see Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar and T.D. Jakes and Joyce Meyer, and they are teaching and preaching their heads off about the same thing that you've been studying. That's because you are all in the Spirit. God speaks once.
Yes, once.
He's not speaking 10 different things. He's speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And he delivers a word to the world, and that word hits upon the ears of all people, and it may come out a little bit different. They might use a few different scriptures, but it's the same theme.
Yes,
why is that? It's because they're in the Spirit. For those who are not teaching and those who are just following the televangelist, you're like, why are they all talking about prosperity? Why are they all talking about faith? Did they call each other? No, they got connected to the one who's speaking.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
All. They're
That's
connected
it.
To the one who's speaking. And if you're wondering why, go ahead.
No, I just have to say, and you can have that connection also. You don't always have to be a follower.
No.
You said by now you all should be teachers. So that's the end goal, is that we all are teachers and pouring into someone else.
Yes.
Oh, God, this is a great conversation.
Absolutely. Okay. So imagine, so adopt this model for your life. Have that place where you are being filled from. But choose wisely those that you are pouring into. And let me tell you why you have to choose wisely. You have to choose wisely who are going to be the inner that you pour into. Because those people who are the inner that you pour into are not going to drain you.
Right.
When you pour into people prematurely, they drain you. They suck your anointing. And they use it up for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
People who are ready, they're going to take that anointing and put it to work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So Jesus did this in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He did it in the spirit. You have to allow the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to become your inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
You need to put them above your friends. Put them above your parents. Put them above your spouse or significant other. Put them above everything that comes first in your life. Make them first. Seek them out first for answers and show them how much you appreciate them. And just watch how you are filled and your life will become filled with exclamation points. They'll be all over the place. A blessing here, a blessing there, a word here. You know, a wonderful thing there. These beautiful things just begin to happen, and your life will really just begin to flow. So this year, I'm choosing to try even harder to make the Trinity my inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get everything right. I don't.
No.
I want people to understand that. I don't get everything right, but I'm trying to live better.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus wants to catch us trying. He knows if we could get it right, we wouldn't need him. And so
you know it.
Okay. So I try to tell people, you know, it's so interesting that we're only 12 days into the year, and I hear people say that this year is going so bad already. And
my
I'm
goodness.
Like, this feeds into what you're talking about, is you're not connected to the spirit because
right.
In 12 days, you got a whole...
It's all messed up already. You've got a long way to go.
You got a long way to go. Bow your heads, let's pray. Because you're off track.
That's rough,
Yes. But being connected with the spirit, and that's why I said I took time and just was in the spirit before I started 2013. Because my resolution, I don't have them, but I resided this year not to talk about a lot of things. I was going to be a doer. I plan on having action. And that's what
the
point is. It's an action. It's an action.
I love it. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's like I'm doing this! Exclamation point.
That's right.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, keep going.
The next thing that I'm going to do this year is I'm going to live with more boldness. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There isn't, when you think of Jesus, there's really not very much that's timid about him.
No.
And once you get to the Acts of the Apostles, I mean, maybe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but when you get to the Acts of the Apostles, there's not a whole lot timid about them either.
Uh-uh.
You know, throughout the Bible, you find that when people have found their identity and purpose in God, even if it's just in one specific area, everything else in their life could be a total hot mess. But once they have this one truth in God, fear and timidity takes a back seat.
Mm-hmm.
And what rises is confidence and power and assuredness and deliberate intention. And I just want to move in a way where I feel empowered and that I'm not filled with fear. And some of the fears that I have had, they just take a back seat because I've found my place in him. And I have now power instead of fear. you know, in my own life, you know, and I'm sure with many other people, I have often lived with the idea of how other people would judge me. So, I, you know, it's like, well, I'm going to do this this way so this person doesn't think this or do this or say this, you know, or believe this. And it's not because I have any kind of proof that they were going to do, say, or believe anything. It's just because I thought that they might. And this is really, for most of us, the way we were raised. You know, one of the ways that we get our children to act right is because we'll tell them, well, you know, you're going to be treated this way or judged by other people if you don't behave. And there's nothing wrong with that because that is true. But the challenge comes when you're an adult and you're living according to the guidelines of a child.
Yes.
Okay? When you're making choices according to how you're going to be judged instead of what's in your heart. And instead of following the design of your life that God had in mind, you start to ignore his voice and his prompting because your mom won't like it or your pastor won't like it or your sister won't like it or your husband won't understand. You can't do that. And what happens is that we have what I call the judgment seat in our brain. And so, you know, those are all those voices of all the people who aren't going to be happy with what you choose to do because you're doing something that God said and what God is saying might be a little bit different than what they know, understand, or believe. But you have to know that God already has that under control. He already knew that that was going to happen. And you have to come to know and respect him and his word more than whatever relationships that you have going on. Knowing that he's got your back.
Every single relationship. There's no one above him. And he's no one above him. Him and the Trinity. That's, that's your, like you said, that's your inner circle. And, you know, when Jesus would go get up, he would have to actually break away from the crowd to go do this. Stop them from following him. You know, so it's something that you fight for to get that connection. And things in the world will pull you and pull you, but you have to fight to get that connection to
that's,
the Spirit.
That's right. It's a fight. You know, I've said it, and I will say it many, many times over, the Holy Spirit is very free, but the Holy Spirit is not cheap. The Holy Spirit is expensive. It's going to cost you something, right? It's going to cost you something. You know it. It's going to cost you something. People are going to think you're nuts. I mean, look at Noah building an ark. They had never even seen rain before. They never saw it before. They know what it was. And the man built an ark.
Look at Job.
Oh, my gosh. Job. They thought the man was crazy, right?
Yeah. They thought Job was crazy, too. They were like, oh, my God, curse your God and die already. You know? And
what is wrong with
friend.
You? Right. These were his friends, his wife.
Yeah, this is his friend.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
if
you look in the Bible, these people had to stand alone. You know, we look at the pretty package of what happens after, you know, when people have already achieved the success and proven that God's word over their life was right and true. And so we get to see them on the platform that's pretty, right? So they have the thriving churches and ministries and the friends and the family. They have all of that going on. But we don't see it when they were preaching to empty chairs. You know, we don't see it when they were trying to figure out what in the world God was saying and when no one was hearing what they had to say, when people were looking at them and saying, well, you haven't been educated by anybody. I'm not listening to you. You know, we don't see the hard times. We don't see that. And the thing that you have to understand that there is a cost to following him. You know, Jesus said that, didn't he say that he came to put mother against son and father, you know, like, didn't he say something like that? Right? I don't remember the exact scripture, but something about mother against son, father against daughter. He came to uproot the family, you know, because we have a fake root. We have fake truth, and he's trying to bring us into the all truth. And sometimes to do that, you have to shake off everything that you have learned. And, you know, when I went to seminary, my mom and I went to seminary, there was a point in which we were learning about Jesus, and I got really I really got afraid because everything that I was learning in seminary was taking the root of everything that I had known, and it was digging up the ground all around it. And they were about to mess with Jesus for me, and I was afraid. But you know what? I decided to go through because I figured that at the end of it, it was either going to be that I was going to recognize how real he really was or how fake he really was. And I was banking on the real. You know, I was banking on the real because I had a relationship with God, and he had already told me that Jesus was real. And I knew he told me to go to this school, so I figured it had to be a good thing. So I went through, you know. And let me tell you, it became more real. It just exploded in my mind. It just exploded for me. And so you have to trust the presence of God. You have to trust the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It's not going to be the God of your mother. It's not going to be the God of your grandmother or your grandfather or your brother or your father. You know, it's not going to be that. It's going to be your God.
Personal.
And you want it to be your God.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you want it to be.
A personal relationship with your Lord. And that's it. That's part of our mission, Faith. I love it. To help you get a personal relationship. We're not on here. It's not about me. It's not about Minister Hovag. It's about you and Christ.
Right, right.
That's what it's about.
So you have to learn the difference between the Holy Spirit in you talking and the judgment seat in you talking. You have to know the difference between the two because they're both talking. And God says that he speaks with a still, small voice. You see what I'm saying? He's going to just say it. He's not going to yell and scream at you. He's just going to say it. But you're going to know with an assurance that it's him. Remember that the Holy Spirit is our counselor. So we can rely on him to lead us into what is perfect, not just right, but what's perfect for the next step in our lives. Okay? So if you can fine-tune yourself to hear the language of the Holy Spirit within you, you're going to be less apt to make mistakes. You're going to be more confident about stepping out and doing what God said for you to do because you know that it's the right thing to do. You're going to know it. And it doesn't mean that because you do the right thing that the criticism is going to cease. Because the truth is that it's going to get greater.
It is.
It's going to get greater. They're going to turn up the heat.
I get those emails. Right. You know.
I can imagine
I get
you
emails,
do.
And it's like, what? Yeah, so I get emails where people do not agree, but that's okay. I'm living the life. Yeah, it's okay. We have to get to the point where it's like, okay, I hear you. We don't agree. We agree to disagree, but you're not for me. And that's what you were talking about in the beginning. It's not everyone that comes to you is called to you. So
absolutely.
If you don't feel me, if you don't feel me, it's because I'm not the one for you.
That's right.
Somebody else out there. Go forth with blessing and peace and joy and happiness and find your center. Find your own relationship with Christ. You can't live through mine. Ooh, this is on fire.
That is so
true. You can't see me shaking my head and stuff. I'm just
I only have one more thing to say about this, is that when you follow the Holy Spirit, although the criticism will get greater, the heat's going to be turned on, you will begin to experience what Jesus called, what they talked about, saying the peace that passes all understanding, because it's a result of following the Holy Spirit within. It is the peace that passes all understanding. It means that it doesn't make any sense that you're going to have peace about this, but you will because you know that it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Simple
I'm
as
in
that.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
simple
that
as that.
Simple. Yes. I'm in God's perfect will. That would
absolutely
be peace.
That would be,
you know.
Girl, if only we could get there, right?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I said I'm going to be there this year. Because, you know, so much has happened. You joined in the show, and you know, as I look back, we're on our 50th year now. We're going into our 50th year. And as I look back, I see how much God has pushed us. Yes, isn't this wonderful? He has pushed us. And we haven't really been doing everything, you know. And I'm like, when did we actually start doing some action? You know, no. Right. Okay. He's like, okay, so here you go.
That's funny.
Get these people on this show and let's do this. That's
awesome.
That's what he told me to do.
Awesome.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so the next thing this year I decided that I'm going to learn more, right? The Bible talks about studying to show yourself approved. And the Bible also tells us that God says that my people suffer for a lack of knowledge, right? And where would we be without learning? That's what I thought about today. You know, whether you're reading the First or Second Testament of the Bible, it's clear learning is important. You know, the survival of any civilization depended upon the intelligence of its people. I'm talking, you know, before universities and all that kind of stuff was created, you know, you needed to have master tradespeople, people who knew how to farm, build. They needed to learn how to work with wood, work with metals. They needed to know how to do things, how to make clothes. I mean, everything needed to be something that was not only learned but mastered. They had to learn how to speak many languages in order to engage people from other places, to reach treaties, to get involved with bartering. You know, they had to do that. And so during Jesus' time, you know, the fact that there were thought leaders like Jesus, that was common. I think it's interesting that now, in our day, we are so skeptical about thought leaders. We really are skeptical about thought leaders. If they are not people that teach in a university or a school and have a degree, we are skeptical. But thought leaders have been here from the beginning of time. They traveled from place to place to place with their so-called schools, which are really just their followers, their disciples. They all had disciples, just like Jesus. And they and what they would do is share their beliefs, their customs, their awareness. That's what they would do from place to place to place. So people had to learn. And they didn't just study their art, but they practiced it. See, some people are so busy studying that they haven't put anything to practice to know whether or not what they're studying works.
Yeah.
That's true. This is what happens with people in college. You know, people are in college studying things, but it's not until they actually come out of college and begin to practice what they have learned that they understand how to apply it. You know, this is why doctors have to do residencies.
And everything, exactly, and everything that you hear or everything that you decide to take on, if people decide to take on what you're saying for 2013, God is going to make you live it.
Yes.
That was the best advice. You're going to live whatever you need. So if you're asking for more, get ready.
Get ready. That's right. That is so true.
If
you don't even know what you're saying.
If you think he's going to give you whatever. No, exactly. Just get ready, because he's going to give you whatever your thought patterns are. So stay
that's
away
right.
from the negative. Or or he will give you that. You know, this year is bad. I'm like, well, what else is he going to do? you called the game.
It's bad because it's what you're allowing yourself to receive.
Exactly. You called the game too early. I don't know about you. I want more than 12 days.
Yeah,
you know?
That's challenging to me. I'm having difficulty with that thought process.
And that person might be listening. That person might be listening. I want to let them know you have more than 12 days of your life left.
And you know what? And remember that in God, every day, every moment is a new day. Every moment. So you get a do-over.
Yes.
So
I love
if this wasn't good, then you know what? Make the decision to do it over.
Yeah, grace and mercy, new every day. Ooh, there's
every
the grace
day. Every day, you know. So when it comes to learning, you know, one of the things that I love is that for us today, the ability to learn is readily at our fingertips. I mean, we can learn whatever we want. We have the internet, we have video, we have all kinds of ways to digitally download things. You know, I mean, we just have so much access to endless information. I have a girlfriend. It's so funny that I always talk about the fact, and she laughs because she knows it's true, that she knows a lot of useless information. That's what we call it. She knows stuff just for the sake of knowing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say to her, why do you know that? And she'll just laugh. She'll be like, I was on the internet. Right? You could just search a subject on the internet and vast amounts of stuff can come up.
Yes,
you know, you can download lectures from the great universities and listen
mm-hmm.
to these lectures for free. You know,
yes.
You may not get the degree, but you will still get the education. Are you kidding
mm-hmm.
me?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You know, I know mm-hmm. many people that watch television these days with a computer or a tablet device or their phones or something because they look up things that hit their head while they're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I personally keep a running list of topics in my mind, in my planner, all that kind of things, because I can spend ridiculous amounts of time in the internet just allowing it to suck me in, so I have to control it. So this year, I'm going to be intentional in my learning. I'm going to
yes.
study Spanish again. You know, I am determined
okay.
that I'm going to preach a sermon in Spanish. I'm going to teach in Spanish. I'm just determined I'm going to do that. And so I'm going to pick it up again. You know, it's something that I want to do. I'm going to learn more about finances, and I want to specialize in ways to save and to budget and to make money so I can share that with other people. And I am
mm-hmm.
going to also take on more formal education just because it's something that I want to do. But one of the things that I'm going
mm-hmm.
to do, I think that's probably the greatest thing, is that I'm going to make very bold declarations over my life as I learn them from the Word of God.
Amen.
Bold declarations. And I'm
Amen.
Able. I'm going to
yes.
learn more. There is no reason for anyone to be unintelligent in today's day and age.
Mm-mm.
There's just no reason for it. There is nothing and no one stopping you. Libraries are free. Libraries
yes.
have internet access. You know, I mean, people who have no money have phones. Right?
Yes.
They do.
Yes.
We people have, all kinds of people have phones. That means they have
mm-hmm.
internet access. That means that
mm-hmm.
you have a way to get online and learn things. There is no way. I mean, education is more available to people
right.
now than it ever, ever was. So I say, what have you, those of you who are listening, what have you wanted to learn more about?
Yes. And if it's God or the Word of God, that's on the internet too, and every version.
Yes. Every version for free. You know what? The Interlinear Bible, which allows you to read the Greek and the Hebrew along with the English, and I'm talking about exactly the way it was written, is available
mm-hmm.
for free on the Bible, on the internet.
Right.
You know,
right.
The Strong's Concordance, available for free on the
mm-hmm.
internet. There's just
mm-hmm.
no reason for you not to have the tools that you need to study the Word. It's all available for free on the
mm-hmm.
internet. You don't have to buy anything.
No. And if you don't understand, I always tell people to ask God for wisdom and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to them. But that's why you have people like you and people like myself and like Elder Faye who are there for you if you have questions, to help walk you through something that
that's
you
right.
might not understand. And it's okay not to
that's
understand
right.
it because at one point, we didn't understand it either, believe me. You know, we
absolutely.
Don't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
you know, and the other thing is that I want people, you know, that have a deep desire. You know, when you have a deep desire for a particular hobby or a craft, move toward it because God put it there. So if you have a desire for photography, for woodworking, for whatever it might be, move toward that thing. You see, God, you never know how he's going to utilize this thing that he has given you. It can help you earn money. It could help you talk to people openly about the Spirit of God just because you get into a conversation about photography. You don't know. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
God has a plan mm-hmm. for everything. He is the great negotiator. And he uses everything that you make available to him. The more knowledge that you have, the more ways he can use you. So I say in 2013, be determined to learn more. Be determined to learn more. Okay? I'm going to move on because I have just a few more, and I want to make sure that I get through them.
Okay.
Jesus accepted his platform. Okay? And if you ever talk to preachers, you know this is true. We often talk about how we ran from the call of God in our life. All of us,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
We ran,
yep.
You know. I don't know where we thought we were running to, but we were running, right? And I don't know, I don't know if Jesus initially tried to run, but if he did, I know he lost the battle. So he accepted his call and his platform. Now, I have tried to run for months.
He did run.
Say that again?
I'm sorry. He did run. In the garden of Gethsemane.
That's right. He did. That's right. That's right.
Yes,
so, you know, he's no different than the rest of us, right? But that's what
he
said.
If you don't mind, can you take this? You're right. Exactly. If you don't mind,
you know,
taking this cup away from
taking
me.
Taking this
job,
cup away from me, you know. I did everything else he wanted me to do.
Yeah.
You know, but he did accept his platform.
Yes, he did.
You know, now
he was obedient.
I've run from the platform most of my life. I've run from it just as much as I've embraced it. My call is to teach in a very regular, but yet at the same time it becomes a dynamic way. That's my call. But the platforms scare the heck out of me. You know, I am not comfortable having all eyes upon me. I'm terrified of being the center of attention. I get so nervous that sometimes I become almost sick, you know. But then I remember when I'm weak, he's strong. And I remember that my call is God's responsibility. So over the years, I have learned to let God in during those moments, you know, when I'm just at a place of having sheer heart-wrenching terror. I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack.
Exactly.
I've learned to, like, rest in him and just let him take over so that I can move forward in his plan for my life. You know, even when I get ready for this call, I mean, before I pick up the number and dial, I have to say, you know, do a lot of heavy breathing, you know, because I'm so nervous. I'm very nervous.
I want you to know I get nervous, too, every show. I am a wreck. I'm a wreck.
Right.
I'm sitting, you know, and people think I'm a wreck. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Yeah, and people think it's so easy, but it's not. And especially when you're really more introverted at heart, you know, it's really just not easy. But I decided that this year that I'm not only going to embrace the call, but I'm going to embrace the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that platform is, I'm going to embrace standing in front of a group. I'm going to embrace standing on a stage. I'm going to embrace standing in a pulpit. I'm going to embrace being on the radio show. I'm going to embrace that God intends to use me, and that the more I surrender, the greater the platform is going to be. So I'm just going to get past it.
You might as well.
Get past it. So when I was thinking about this and writing this morning, I said, you know what? I'm going to tell you what I see. I see book readings in my future. I see book signings in my future. I see television in my future. And this terrifies me. But I'm going to embrace the platform and allow God to lead me. And I'm going to say to you, allow God to lead you. Embrace the platform. God has something special in mind. Embrace the platform. You may as well. You don't have any option.
You don't have any option. And
you
don't
have any option.
And
he'll turn the
share
world
with
upside
you.
Down.
Yes, he will. He will turn your life. I have to share what one of the things that my platform that God has given me for this year is to get from behind the computer. And I have to start going to the places where the people are listening to me. And so I see travel in my future. So I'm I have to go. It's been a great relaxing ride for me laying in my bed with my laptop. And then
boy.
Yeah, but he has said you must step beyond this and actually show your face in the places that people are listening. And so that's something I know God is leading me towards. I just wanted to share that with you.
And you know what? But it's how God works for everyone listening. You know, as soon as you get comfortable, he's going to move you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to be in a place where you are on your knees before him. And so when it stops becoming difficult and you have grown to the point and matured to the point where you're able to do it without all of his help, that means you're ready for the next place.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to stretch you. He's going to keep you stretched. And he's going to open up doors. And he's going to move you to other levels. And he's going to push you in other dimensions. It's just the way it works.
Yes.
So you may as well get ready.
Yep.
You may as well get ready because that is the way it works. So I am promising myself that I'm just simply going to embrace the platform. I'm just going to let it happen.
Let it happen.
I'm going to stop fighting it, and I'm just going to let it happen.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful advice. It's wonderful advice.
The next thing that I wanted to talk about was forgiveness. And we know that the Bible talks about we need to forgive so that God can forgive us.
Yes.
And we know that, you know, Peter asked Jesus, well, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? And he said 70 times 7. I remember being a kid multiplying that out and figuring out, well, how am I going to count that many times for each person? You know, like, it's like, no, fool, that's not what he meant. No. We've been spoken to about forgiveness. We all know that it causes stress and, you know, it's a negative kind of stress. It's not good for us.
Yeah.
And we know that we need to forgive. But here is where I've been looking at for myself. In 2013, I'm going to learn to be more forgiving of myself.
Hey, yes.
I am just going to learn how to stop being so judgmental of myself and to celebrate myself.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, I want to get to the point where I'm able to just spoil myself shamelessly by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. You know, I need to stop being the person that holds myself back. I need to get out of my own way and stop being so critical of myself. And the truth is that if God is forgiving me, then why can't I forgive me also?
Yeah, and he forgives you instantly.
Yes.
Instantly.
Yeah.
You ask for forgiveness, you're forgiven.
That's
but
right.
But it takes us months.
Oh, my gosh. And for some people, years.
Years to get to the point.
Now, and the thing that I know and the thing that you know is that whenever we are remembering the mistakes, often Satan pushes those things into our mind to remind us. And that's usually because we are focused in the right direction and he's trying to cause us to lose focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are such a threat to his kingdom.
Amen.
Such a threat to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That he wants to keep us off center at all times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if he could get us to doubt for just one moment longer, procrastinate for one moment longer, to feel less than for one moment longer, that could be one more person that we don't save, one more person that doesn't hear the word the way God intended. That could be us not being willing to move forward and then causing someone else to not receive what God intended in the right time. You know, I mean, he just wants to stop us.
Uh-huh. For being in the way.
Yes, absolutely.
Get
out of the way.
Get
so,
out of the way.
You know, now when you're faced with the opportunity to remember a transgression or to remember something that wasn't quite right, just remember that you're covered by the blood instead.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that you were not condemned. Remember that God has a plan for you. Remember that he loves you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to learn to accept the forgiveness that God has, and I'm going to forgive myself.
Oh, amen. Amen.
We still have time? Oh, yeah, we still have time. Good. The next thing is that I'm going to accept change more willingly. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, I want to talk about that word behold, because that word behold is an exclamation point. That word behold is written in all capital letters, is bolded, italicized, underlined, and has an exclamation point at the end. Behold. It's like, look out. Oh, my goodness. Focus all your attention on this. And what am I focusing on? That all things have become new. Change is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no point in fighting it. We talk about yesterday as if it was the best thing ever, but today really isn't so bad. And the Bible says that our latter days are going to be greater.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be excited about what tomorrow brings, be excited about today, and just learn to embrace change. This year I'm determined. I'm going to embrace it more willingly. And let me tell you, I don't really have a whole lot of problem with change. I'm just going to embrace it even more. And
right.
the process of embracing it, I'm going to learn to rest in the Lord. I'm going to learn to seek his direction. I'm going to learn to abide under his wings so that when change comes, I will feel protected or at least know that I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to learn to make modifications when and wherever is necessary. And because I don't want to be shaking every time the wind blows.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some fierce winds that will come. But God has made promises. He's promised to never leave or forsake us, so we're not alone. He says that he has a plan to prosper us, which means that we're not going to be in harm's way. He has a positive plan for our future. If you look at the demonstration of the lives of the people that are in the Bible, times were not always easy, but God was always there, and he always had the last say. In the end, we win. It's as simple as that. What a mighty God we serve. In the end, we win. We may not know everything, but we know that the one true God is rooting for us. The one true God that created all things is rooting for us.
Amen.
Nothing will stand in our way. We will not be defeated. We might get knocked down from time to time, but we are still super victorious in the blood of Jesus.
Mm.
Oh, my God. This
Preach.
Is the price
yes.
that Christ paid for us.
Mm-hmm.
We are super bad and super victorious.
Here we go. Exclamation point. We're on the
Exclamation
move.
Exclamation point. I mean, really. So just accept the change.
And
the change.
Everyone who's listening, this is to let you know that this year God has exceedingly expectations for things in your life. If you will think higher.
Yes.
He can pay your rent, he can pay your telephone bill, you know.
Oh my
he can pay your car note. Stop asking him for those little things. Ask
That's
him for
right.
something big.
That's
Ask
right.
him for something big. Ask
That's
him for
right.
trench, you know, and he will move to the level of your expectations.
That's
and
right.
That's what Minister Hovak is preaching about so passionately. Is that you have? Ooh, I love it! I'm on fire over here. I need to. We're gonna do this show together one time.
Oh my gosh! You know, it's so exciting.
It
you
is.
Know, like when
it
you
is.
Really, when you, re- I mean, just believe it. It's
mm-hmm.
you know what? It's as simple as believing it. It's no different than when you accept Christ. It's all about you believe it. One moment you don't believe it, the next moment you believe it, and your whole life has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same way it is with every word in the Bible. One moment you don't know it, then you know it. Then you believe it, and then life changes. It's as simple as that.
Yes.
Make the decision to change, alter your beliefs. Accept the change that altering beliefs will do. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. What deciding
awesome.
To be positive will do instead of being negative. It's amazing.
It will change your whole life. That the power of life and death is in your tongue.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
that's why I'm going to make those declarations with exclamation points. You know, doctors also talk about how, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, you know, that all of the people, you know, people who are sick, all the patients that are sick, the
mm-hmm.
ones that improve the fastest are the ones with the best disposition.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are positive, the ones that believe that they can be healed are the ones that actually get healed. But the ones
mm-hmm.
who buy into the fact that they're going to die, die.
Yes, because that's what you ask for. He gives
yes.
you exactly. He loves
that's,
you so much.
And it is
the
given.
The Father, that he, anything you ask for, he will give you. And
yes.
if you ask him for death, then that's what you're going to get. If
that's
you ask
right.
him for life, that's what you're going to get. it's not easy. I'm someone who suffers with chronic pain and chronic illness, but my disposition doesn't have to be of someone's disposition, because
right.
I believe
right.
that my father is a healer. I know he's
healer. That's
right.
That's
you know?
Right.
So that's having faith.
That's right. Absolutely.
This has been inspiring, informative, and just a great way to kick off the new year.
I'm excited. You know, I went online and I saw that I've been on for a year.
Yes, you have.
I can't even believe that.
Yes, and we broke a record this year, too. We had like 29,975 downloads. You know?
Wow.
And I said, oh, my.
Wow,
my.
What?
Yes.
What?
I said,
are
oh
you
my.
Kidding me?
No, I'm not. All of us together, all the shows together, you know.
That is awesome.
And so God is showing me, if this is what you're doing and you guys are not doing anything, imagine what's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
We have to get
wow.
ready. In the listening audience, you know, we're not pumping up ourselves. We're pumping up the kingdom, and we're trying to bring you into that kingdom with us. You know, I never
That's
want
right.
anyone to think that this is about any particular person. This is
no.
about Christ. It's about Christ.
That's
Christ.
Right.
All right. All right. Did you have anything else? Can you even ask this?
No,
oh,
you know that. I mean, we, you know what? The Holy Spirit is always right on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was that was everything. That was everything that He gave me today to
yeah.
talk to everyone about. So I'm just excited. I'm excited, very enthusiastic about 2013.
I am too. I want to utilize your skills of being a Christian life coach. Because what you offer is a way of how to be a Christian and live in the world that we're in today and go up against the obstacles. So email Minister Hovak, contact her, watch her on other formats, Ignite the Spirit on Sunday morning, you know, on the Master's Groove. So the contact information is on the website. The website is under construction. So please give out your information again, just in case I've got something missing.
Yes, you can always email me at Kimberly@KimberlyHorvath.com. You can also catch me on Facebook. It's Kimberly Cooper Horvath. And, you know, if you just search me on Google me, you'll find me. I would love to hear from you. I really love to hear from you. I love to talk to the listeners, and I love to be, you know, when I hear from you, it is encouraging, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I just love to hear from you and hear how God is moving in your life.
Yes, and I'm going to put a challenge out there. Contact her and not me. Because
that is so funny.
I hope that came out right. But, you know, I have faced what people have said to me about you, and I want them to get to the point where they're comfortable enough that they don't have to go through me. They can go directly to you because
I welcome it.
Yes, you're welcome to it. So everyone, feel free to contact Kimberly. But if you contact me, I will send the message on. I will
Absolutely.
Do that. But this has been wonderful. Thank you for blessing the show and blessing the year, because you were the first sermon on for the year.
Praise God.
Okay.
Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you so much, as always, for being so gracious, having me on, you know, and just praise God for what He's doing. I'm excited about what He's doing.
I'm excited. I'm standing. I'm on fire. You preach. We don't have to do anything else. You brought us home. Thank you so much. Okay, and I'll see you next month on a second Saturday of the month.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay? All
Bless
right.
you.
Left. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Woo! Woo-wee! Woo-wee! I have to say that, you know, many thanks to Minister Hovak. She has been such a great addition to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries platform, and I'm just so grateful to God that he sent her this way. Now we're going to get into the dance mix. Now, our resident DJ, Frankie Vibe, is going to have his own show, and tomorrow he will be doing his mixing for an hour. But right now we're going to get a little sample of what that mixing is with the dance break for the week. DJ Frankie Vibe. Here we go, everybody.
life. You know, that first time you heard God's voice or you felt His love. So no matter what season you're in right now, after winter comes spring. Well, if you love my Jesus, that's the same.
Vibe. And don't forget that tomorrow, January the 13th, the House of Inspiration Mix Show with DJ Frankie Vibe is coming to the Dirty Home Outreach Ministry at 4 p.m. Central Time. Listen live, or you can listen later. Just listen if you can and tell a friend. All right, next up on the mic is New Path, which was remixed by very own DJ Shaheen. Triple D Pitch featuring Little Poet. New Path. Here we go. All right, that was New Path featuring Triple D. Triple D featuring Little Prophet, remixed by DJ Shaheen. You're listening to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. I'm the presiding minister, Angela McCarty, Chicago-based poet, known as Sister Poochie. If you want to contact any of the artists that have ever been on the show, or any of the guests, Minister Hovac, myself, Elder Faye, our spiritual counseling email, our prayer line, all you have to do is go to www.sisterpoochie.com, and that's SISTAPOOCHIE.com, and you'll be able to contact us through that medium. All right, next up on the mic is Cooley with Time Again.
The blade shall ward, but the hilt shall guard. Yah, my treasure's most precious shard. The cornerstone, the stumble block shall retard. The lion, the lamb, he shall reward. The ark is set course, so prepare to board. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, as he shuts the door. It's hard to ignore that we've been here
time
before.
And time and time and time again we've been caught up in the trends. This different situation. Time and time again we wandering, wondering how we circumvent to these same old places. Time and time again we've been caught up in the trends. This different situation. Time and time again I'm wondering, wondering if it's cause we love ignorance.
All right, that was Time Again by Cooley the Nazareth. All right, next up on the mic is Moshe with the First Eye versus the Blind Eye. Now, listen to this very carefully because it's just so true.
Aha! Rome is falling. Yes, it is. West Side is falling all over. Yes, it is. West is falling. The whole world is gone. Rome is falling. Wake up. Wake up. Yes. the blue pill. The red pill will take you out of this world and see it in the spiritual sense.
Yeah.
The blue pill will keep you in this world, the physical state, self imprisonment. Well, I'm gonna let you eat up this red pill if you can swallow it. The game of Monopoly, as you see it, is ruling this life.
Right.
Control of banks, institutions, media, and government. Keep the minds of the masses under a spell. But soon the game's over. The so-called mighty dollar, your pride and joy, has nothing backing it. Monopoly money. Get it?
Control.
This control has molded us and our past ancestors into a world we see today. A world that suppresses truth and the African people from rise.
Right.
But it always was here in the spirit.
Yeah.
The ones that stay confused or refuse to hear and see the truth from the spirit like me will continue to perish in the mental and physical state. When they finally sense they're in set slavery like now, it will be a long physical struggle to see what's the right choice. And that is unity amongst your brothers and sisters. Physically and mentally. Everything that the masses love so much in this world continues to crumble.
All the damn.
More our people will finally unite, but will still perish because of their overall love of this world. The spiritually inclined will be able to live days without worldly things and continue to help others escape the physical and spiritual captivity. Escaping to dwell in a land of tranquility and peace. A land of a new mind state. A new dimension.
New
age. A new image.
All right, that was Moshe with the first eye versus the blind eye. And next up on the mic is Danielle Woodson with Come Back Home.
Luke 15, verse 11. And there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found, and they begin to celebrate. Man, I wonder if that's how God feels when we come back home.
never try, never wanted you to live this way. Would you come back to show me what you do?
All right, that was Come Back Home by Daniel Woodson. Yes, how happy God would be if all his children just came back home. It's called the Journey Home Outreach Ministries because we're on a journey and you're not alone because our Heavenly Father is always there and our Lord and Savior is guiding our every step and telling us everything we need to do if we only would just listen. Now, in 2009, I did a prayer, and I'm going to play it again because it doesn't matter what year it is, it still applies. So this is a prayer by Christopher G.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this one more day to try to get things right, to do things your way. Thank you for the rain and the snow and all the seasons in between, because only you can provide all of these wonderful things. There's so much trouble in the world, but in 2009, we pray for your protection, for your guidance, for your deliverance. We enter this year, take it each day as you give it to us, and let us not stray, for it's on your path we shall stay. Because ain't no one knows at sunrise or sunset how this day is going to end. So I enjoy the present with you, my friends, and we go to our Father to get us through to 2009, the first day, to 2009, the 31st day of the end of the year. We pray for your protection. We pray for your guidance, because I don't know what's going to happen, but I know with you and following you, I will not worry about how the day will end, because we don't know. But we know now that today was a blessing from you. So thank you as we go into the next year. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
All right. I want to thank the Heavenly Father for all that he has done for the ministry, all he has done for the people who are been affected and touched by the ministry. We do this only for his glory, and we do this for your something for you to hold on to. So I just want to wish everyone a happy, happy new year. And we're having a little bit of difficulty, but we're going to roll out of this show like we always roll out. And that is with how great thou art, as soon as we can find the known switchboard. Now, you know,